Everybody today. School is back in. Is that right? School is back in for most schools, public schools. Okay. All right. If you think about it, be praying for them. That's a deal for everybody. Teachers and students, both in our day and time. So, anytime you're thinking about them, pray for them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, for our freedom, for the truth of your word, for a place that we have to meet, for food we've had already. I ask you to bless our time together. Give us wisdom. Help us to see what your word says about how we are to live our life. Thank you that you have a plan for us, and that you will see it to fruition for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in chapter 8 of Revelation. It's quite an interesting chapter. So let's go ahead and get started. You know, I've been hesitant to make this comment, but it'll give us something to pray about. Because quite a few people since we've been going through the book of Revelation have asked me this question about God's plan for us and the nation and all that's happening. What do I think? This is just my own opinion, okay? I was in a situation one time years ago where I made a call as pastor. It was a racial issue in the church where I was pastoring, and I stood up for everybody was welcome, not just white people, and there was some opposition with that, and we got through that, and again, it wasn't the majority of the church was against it, but there's always been a few diehards that were against that kind of thing. And I kind of stood my ground, and, you know, the rest of the church said, that's right, we're not going to do that. And one of the oldest leaders of that church, one of the most spiritual guys in the church, and still is, he came to me months and months later and said, you know, just want to let you know, and I've been in this church, he said, for 40 years. He said, this was our third shot. This whole deal has come up two times in the past, and none of the leaders stood for what was right. And he said, I knew if you gave in this time, God would take his hand off our church. We were done. He said, that's the way I see it. That's the way it was. It was an issue. And I remember that the first Wednesday night, some of the African Americans came to our service. He was doing this. He was walking around. I said, what's going on? He said, well, the roof didn't cave in. I'm telling you that to tell you this. Here's my personal opinion, okay? Looking at all this happen, I feel like if we vote for the wrong president this time, as a nation, we're done. You know why? Do you know how far we've gone back in 4 years? If that goes again, and already God owes us a lot of punishment as a nation. Already. And there is so many things that have happened. You say, well, everybody thought that in the days of Holocaust. The wickedness of the Holocaust was contained. It is worldwide now. This whole philosophy, it is. And this is just kind of the way I see it. If we make a bad call this time, I feel like God owes us just judgment. That's what I feel like. So when we're looking at the book of Revelation, some of this might be closer than we think. Just kind of the way the things unfolded. You know what's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in this country? So just keep praying, you know, because, you know, a lot of these things that they were dealing with in the book of Revelation at the time they were alive, we're dealing with. Remember, this is not just the 7 years tribulation time. We are in the tribulation now. And when you start seeing some of the things that we're going to look at today, if we hurry, again, that's just my opinion. Hey, for what it's worth, you don't have to agree with me. That's fine. That's just looking at all the things that have happened over history and looking at where we are now. Man, we're in trouble. I mean, we are. We just are. The world is, but we are as a nation. So pray for our nation. Pray for our people. Us, because what we have to deal with and what we're dealing with now. Okay? All right. Let's get to something interesting. All right? Our secular age has tried to teach us again and again and again that things either happen by chance or they really have no moral significance. You know, it really doesn't matter. Or they are the product of nothing more than just accidental chances, happenstance. Just that's the way it goes. You know, there's nothing outside of this, taking care of it. This should be our thought. Lord, help us that we could see with eyes of faith that, number one, you're sovereign. We keep repeating that God's in control, that you're almighty, but that your wrath against us is going to happen. That's what I just briefed us with when I said what I said. God owes us a judgment. You know, you can't kill as many babies as we've killed in the United States without some repercussion for that. I mean, that's just part of it. Therefore, we have no one else to whom is our refuge. I don't care who the president is. He can't fix this. He can lend to it, bad or good. If you don't believe that, so study the Old Testament. So with the king, so with the nation. And that right or wrong? Yes. But you alone, by the death of your son, can make us right with you. So regardless if we die in the tribulation or we're out of the tribulation, we're right with you. That's the main thing. That's all Revelation is about, that we will be driven to get right with you. Help us that in the consequence of these chapters, and it's about to start to get intense right on up till this thing is over of our study, that we may see afresh the cosmic dimensions of the struggle. What did Paul say? Man, our battle, it is not flesh and blood. It is what? Principalities that are influencing people that we have to deal with every day of our life. Help us to hate the vile things, understanding that we will either bear the mark of the beast or the mark of the lamb. But we're doing that now. Either you're living for Jesus or you're living for the devil. There's no in between, you know? And that's the same thing. It's just as true now as it's going to be in the end. We will suffer either from the beast. If you get the beast mark in the end days, God's judgment will be on you. If you get Jesus' mark on you, the beast judgment will be on you if we're still alive when these things are going on. You know, I don't know. We're not calling any conclusions yet as to whether what part we're going to go through or what part we're not going to go through. But I can tell you this, we're closer than we've ever been before. Am I right or wrong? Oh, yeah. Regardless of how much longer, we're closer than we've ever been before. All of us. Now, chapter 8. I can't read all of it one time. Won't read the whole chapter, but you need to read it if you haven't. In chapter 8, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. You remember, we've seen this concept quite a few times already. You remember where it says the souls of the martyrs were underneath the altar, and he was talking about the prayers of these people, the saints. And so we're coming back around to this, all right? Now remember, all these things that we study in Revelation, it doesn't just say chapter 5 happens, it's done, chapter 6 happens, it's done, chapter 8 happens. No, these are all going on at the same times. We're having different visions of what is going on from different perspectives, and all of this is happening. Okay? So when chapter 8 is happening, it's some of the same things that happened in chapter 6. You're just seeing it from a different perspective. So don't get confused and try to categorize and say, oh, well, this has already happened, so that's done. That doesn't have anything to do with what else we're looking at. No, it's all. It's all in a cycle, and we're just seeing it from different perspectives, all right? Now, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers, I think this is not the best translation. And it's debatable. In the Greek New Testament, this could go both ways. Together with the prayers or as the prayers of the saints. It's almost like the prayers of the saints are the incense. And when the angel takes that and puts that on the altar and it goes up before God, remember what the question they asked before? Lord, how long? God's fixing to say, now. He's been putting it off. But that's exactly what's going on. Went up before God from the angel's hand, then the angel took the censer. You remember what it was? They would take the incense, and he would take it and put it on the altar, and then it would go up in a cloud, and it was like a pleasing thing to God for welcoming his blessings upon it. That's the same concept. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers. I think it was the prayers, not just together with the prayers. The translation could go either way. But I think that's what it is in relation to what we'd already studied. Filled it with the fire from the altar and hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Wow. Isn't that something? The seven angels are now the seven trumpets. We went through the angels, the seals. The seven seals are now the seven trumpets. Remember, you said, well, they already happened. Remember, you can't separate them. It's part of the same thing going around in a cycle. And now the seven trumpets and then the seven bowls, and they all have some kind of relationship. And our question is, how exactly? Well, we're hard-pressed. There's not a neat little slot to put these things in. Some have tried to do that over the years. A lot of years past, you know, there were whole systematic ideas about, oh, yeah, this is this and this. It's just so hard to fit all these things in a little slot, you know. You can look at some of it. We're looking at the way God looks at the earth and the way God looks at believers again and again when these judgments are going on, okay? We're seeing it from God's perspective. This is how he looks down on it. This is what he sees. Some of them we can nail down with precision as we'll go. Some of them, just a probability. Well, this could be this. It looks like it could be. We just don't know, you know, and that's the way it is. The different sevens look at things a slightly different perspective from different angles, but they're just not neatly tied up. You know, you just can't make it all fit. In every one of the schemes, regardless of where you are, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib, when everybody has problems in their system, and they try to systematize it to make it easier for us to understand, but none of them fit. You have problems in all of them. We saw last week the seven seals look at God's judgment in terms of what took place on the earth. In the God, remember, they took place in the way of famines and deaths and civil disorder. We saw that the first few weeks, terms of war. Now you come to these and you look at them, look at what they do. They do things a little different. It's difficult to line all those different things up, but they're all happening. Let's hurry up, all right? What we're getting to now is a kind of throne view. From God's perspective, he's looking at it, God directly, and miraculously, he's sending out some judgment. Remember the prayer? Lord, how long? Well, it's not time yet. And now God's fitting to say, the prayers go up, and he said, now it's time. That's what I think. So now some judgment is starting to be unfolded, and it's not by things on the earth, it's by God. God's doing this stuff. Before it was a famine. Before it was an earthquake. It was a lot of natural things that took place. And now it's God doing it. If we're seeing God intervening, even though it's very symbolic still, but now God is, the judgment is coming directly from God's hand, not from anything else that he created. The seventh seal. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. Y'all know the joke with that, right? Everybody? No women in heaven for the first 30 minutes because it's silent. That's not even funny, is it, ladies? Anyway, that's not what it means. All right? What you got to remember is this is a drama. What does that silent mean? When you see all going on in this big show that you're seeing or this play, and man, it's wide open, and then boom, everything stops. What does that do? what's going on? What's next? That's what that means. This is a drama. This is not just a recording of things happening. This is a dramatic thing that's going on. You have a drama unfolding in these judgments, then there's silence, and then get your attention. Well, what's happening now? My God, what is next? The silence theme is found here and in other places in Scripture. In Zephaniah is there. It is as if God said, okay, we've had a cycle of judgment. What's coming next? He said, I'm about to show you what's coming next. What comes next is more judgment, which may simultaneously suggest that God sometimes gives us a reprieve before it gets worse. You know what they say about tornadoes or hurricanes? You see the first part come through, and it gets quiet, and you get out and start playing, and then what happens? The rest of it. Why? Because you're in the middle of it. Could be what's going on. It seems like something like that has happened. What is exactly happening? The half hour is certainly meant to be dramatic, causing us to pause before we move on and maybe reflect and say, okay, what's going on here, God? What are you doing? What have you done? The preparation for that, the seven angels stand before God. They're not been introduced before. A lot of the apocalyptic literature written by the Jews try to name these angels. It's no correlation to this. They try to do it, and they got all kind of names for them. Again, this is not tied to that, but they try to name them. The Scripture here doesn't tell us that. It doesn't tell us. And that's exactly what they try to do. The main thing is this. They're God's angels meant to do His will. And He's about to send them to do these different things. That is the main thing. He's going to use the angels to get what He wants done. They were given seven trumpets. What does trumpets function like? All kind of things in Scripture. What did it used to be a trumpet used for in our own military? What? Before we had all this high-tech communication. What was a bugle for? Hey, we fit in a fight. Charge. How many times is it that in the Old Testament? It doesn't mean the same thing that happened at Jericho. It was always a trumpet was to blow to say, well, man, we're fighting to get in a fight. It's in Revelation later. It says, when the trumpet sounds, the who shall rise first? Same concept. Well, man, when they're blowing the trumpet, things are fixing to happen. That's exactly what you have in Zephaniah. It describes the day of Jehovah as a day of wrath. And the trumpet comes. Exactly the same imagery in 1 Thessalonians concerning those who have fallen asleep in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first whenever the trumpet is sounding. It says who have already died. Same concept. So what does the trumpet mean? It's symbolic. It doesn't literally mean that you're just going to hear it. Something's going to get your attention. You know, when the trumpet is blown loudly, everybody looks, right? Hello? Why? Because it's loud. That's what it's for. That's what it's doing. Another angel who had the golden censer, something for holding either the ashes when they would move it in the Old Testament. It was to be offered as an incense on the altar. That's exactly what it was. He came and stood before the altar. He was given much incense to offer. He was given it to offer, which is in fact the prayers, I think, of the saints is what that is. You know, we've already seen it before. On the golden altar before the throne. And what happens? God's purposes for redemption and blessings are going to be fulfilled. He said, this thing's happening. Now, the prayers of the God's saints can properly be filled. What word? God, we know you're just. All this is going on. You need to do something, remember? When are you going to do this? And he said, well, not yet. So he put it off. And now it's going back up again. And something's fixing to happen from that. The only prayers of the saints we've already specifically seen have been this. How long, O Lord? How long before you're going to do justice? Not just to retaliate for us, but your own honor is on the line. When are you going to correct it? As they're offered up before the Lord, judgment falls on the people, on the earth. Boy, that's remarkable, isn't it? God does not want to see his people endlessly destroyed. Oh, judgment's coming. A lot of people think, oh, there is no God. We don't have to worry. We can live like hell and we never have to give accountability. Oh, yeah, you will. You know? You will. We will. The prayers of the saints. That's exactly what happens. Go up before the Lord's angel. The angel then takes the censer, fills it with fire from the altar, and throws it to the earth. Boy, is that a picture for you? This is God's doing. God's hand is doing this. A lot of people say, oh, just God is love, and he's just going to forgive us all. No, they don't read the whole Bible. The judgment is coming right from God's hand, from His very throne. God's in control. Will God forgive? Yes. Will God hold us accountable? Absolutely. Nothing is done without accountability, good or bad. Now, the trumpets. First angel sounded their trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down to the earth. There's all kind of ways. It's symbolic, okay? What does that mean? You can picture that in all kind of ways. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, you know, it says it was darkness on the earth. How did that happen exactly? You know, Peter referred to it. That's what it was. You know, what does it mean? And it says in the sun looked like red blood. There's all kind of things that God could use to do that. It's symbolic. Remember? That's what he's talking about. A third of the earth was burned up. Remember now, a third. Not all of it. Not everybody's killed. Only a third. What's the reason for that? A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. Later on, we get to chapter 9. Somebody says, well, this has already happened. Remember, all these things are going on at the same time. Don't try to separate all of it out and make sure, well, this had happened, so it couldn't happen again. It's all happened at the same time. He sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze. What does that sound like? Volcano? You know, this recorded in Roman history, in that part of the world, when, what was the guy's name? One of the emperors. The whole place was destroyed when there was a serious volcanic eruption. Is that what it is? I don't know. A huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. Boy, what does that do to things? You know? A third of the sea turned to blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of ships were destroyed. Wow. Would that get your attention? If you were one of those who saw some of this, but you were not the one killed? And chapter 9 says they didn't pay attention. They didn't repent. God's given them a chance. He could have destroyed everybody at one time. A third. In chapter 9, when we get there, I'll see a reference to it in this part. I'll give you a reference to it. But it says what? And they still didn't repent. Even when all this happened, they said, what's going on here? Didn't rest their attention that they might want to check out with God and see what's going on. They didn't repent. Verse 10, the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky. What does that sound like? You know, there's all kind of things that are dropping out of the sky that we probably don't even know about, right? Every now and then somebody knows about it, and if it hits by somebody. Fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Wormwood. Why? Because Wormwood was bitter. That's the only reason it's named that, because what? Now after this happened, all the fresh water in the river was not drinkable because it was bitter. Nobody wanted it. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that became bitter. This is straight from God's hand. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck. Now, how you strike a third of the sun, you see? You try to make this literal, and you're going to have nonsense. You got to be careful. Symbolic. How would that work? You know, if a third of the sun went dark, well, how would that affect the temperature if only a third of it went dark? And if a third of the moon went dark and didn't do what it's supposed to? See, how would that work? And a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. Symbolic. What all exactly? It's going to be some supernatural things going on. And it's to get people's attention. And they still won't. They still won't pay attention. A third of the day was without light. How you do that? Remember, whenever Jesus was on the cross, a few hours went dark. We don't really know how that happened, how God did it. People have come up with all kind of ideas. We don't know. We just know that that happened. Peter talks about it. This is what happened. And also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair calling out in a loud voice. Something that a lot of kids don't know anymore. Whoa! Whoa! Whoa, whoa. We'll come back to this later, all right? But it's introduced here. Whoa, whoa, whoa. To the inhabitants of the earth. Because of the trumpet's blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. God's trying to get their attention. You know, right now, they have a chance still to repent, just like you. Right here today, I don't know where you are. You may be playing a church game or a Jesus game, and God's trying to get your attention, and you just been playing around. He said, right now, you got a choice. You better do something. Because number one, you don't know how long you're going to live. You may be dead this afternoon, in the morning. The main thing is, you need to do something. It was a warning. He said only a third. Could he destroy the whole thing at one time if he wanted to? Absolutely. You know, why did he wait? How many times does the scripture tell us? Because God is forbearance. He's patient, trying to give the last moment for anybody who will commit their life to him and be saved. That's what he wants. And he's getting their attention. He's trying to get their attention. What do we do with this? Huh? You say, I don't know. The plagues neither recapitulate each of the seal judgments. They're not exactly the same, but they're happening at the same time, basically. Nor do they follow the seals in a strictly chronological place. And that's what some people do. They try to say, well, this is all in this line. It doesn't fit. I mean, you just can't hardly do that. They cover the same period of final travail, but from a different perspective. The seals were showing us this. Now, the trumpets are showing us this. The seals were showing us what God is doing and what things were going on earth that was causing his people hardship. Now, the trumpets are showing what God is doing as a judgment on the bad people in the world. Okay, that's a different perspective than it is. The sixth seal found people fleeing to the mountains, remember? Crying, rocks fall on us, because we don't want to see God face to face. We'd rather die out there by the rocks falling on us, but we don't want to see God. We don't want to deal with him. For a sanctuary against the wrath of the Lamb. Remember? We saw that, chapter 6. The tribulation of this period is now portrayed in a more advanced fashion. Some of the same stuff. Now we're seeing more of it in a different place. I mean, in a different part, how it is applied, I guess you would say. While the first four seals show judgments, okay, that are the inevitable consequence of human sinfulness. You know, evidently those things, famine, military conquest, cause all those things. We saw those in the first go around, the four things. Absolutely, man, fallen mankind was causing those things, basically. Usually when you have a famine, a lot of times it's because of what? Somebody's crooked. You know, the government's stealing it from the people. You send it over there to help them, and they never get it because the government's crooked and stealing it from them. That kind of stuff. Can there a famine take place? Yes, absolutely. But some of that is absolutely fallen mankind. The trumpets revealed the active involvement of God. God's doing this punishing. He's not using the stuff on the earth like famine and military conquest and fallen. He's doing it himself. A lot of people don't say, oh, no, God's not that way. He's not going to do that. This says he does, and he will, and he is. God is a God of wrath, not just a God of mercy. The trumpet plagues are direct against a world that is adamantly against God. Boy, that's where we are in the last 4 years, isn't it? Have you seen it any worse in the United States than we've seen it? I haven't in my lifetime. I've only been here 65 years. You see what I'm talking about? That's why I made that statement I made earlier. And it's not segregated. It's basically the whole world is going along with this kind of nonsense, where it's not just a little group of people, you know? As the intensity of the judgment increases, so does the vehemence with which people refuse to repent. God said, look at this. I'm giving you a chance. Oh, no. We hate you even more. We're not going to turn to you. You know, that's what happens. When you confront somebody, they either appreciate it and they turn to you and are grateful, or they hate you more. Isn't that way it goes? Oh, yeah. Same thing. It's nothing new. But the trumpet judgments are not final. Okay? This is not the end yet. They affect a significant portion, a third, but not everybody. God's still saying, I'm going to give some people a chance. And you say, well, why did he destroy those? I think it works this way. Just like he told the Israelites, when you go into Canaan, kill them all. Why? I know as God, they're never going to repent. I've given them chance after chance after chance. I know they're not going to repent. All they're going to do is cause you to fall. Did they listen to him? No. So what happened to Israel? They went into two big captivities. Why? Because they took on the sins of the people that they were supposed to destroy. Whenever God says, I'm going to destroy this third, absolutely, it's because I know they're never going to repent. They're done. So I'll have to use them to help somebody else maybe have a chance of turning from their sin. I think that's the way it is. Their purpose is not so much retribution as to lead people to repentance. God does everything he can to bring somebody to repentance. And they still say, I don't want anything to do with you, God. After seeing all this, you'd think some people would wake up. Like the watchman in Ezekiel. They warn the people of impending danger. Do they pay attention? No. 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 Isn't that the way we are? God tries to show us by somebody else. You try to learn from somebody else who ruined their life. Oh, that's not going to happen to me, so you didn't learn anything. You know, pay attention. That's what he's saying. They didn't pay attention. We don't pay attention. In the trumpet sequence, there's an increase in severity over the seals. They're harder than the seals were. The trumpets go beyond the seals, and they're more detailed portrayal of God's judgment. God is doing this by his hand. It is important to see that there's no easy alignment of trying to put these seals and these trumpets in a neat little place where we can. It's just not going to be that way, you know. So don't say, well, I've got it all figured out. This, be careful, because it's not easy to do that. The whole pattern is of judgment still not bringing people to repentance. They still didn't. It means these judgments are not the final one. God's not done. He said it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. You know, it's amazing. Some people can't talk about this. If you can't talk about it, and we happen to be living in the time when some of these things are going to happen, how are you going to live in it? You better start talking about it. And you better start thinking through it and see where you are because, oh, well, that's like saying, well, I just don't want to talk about dying. Well, you're going to die. You better talk about it and think about it. And some people say, oh, no, you know, I don't want to talk about that and I don't want to think about that. But what if you live long enough that you'll be going in some of these things? How are you going to handle it if you haven't even talked through it a little bit and think about it and say, okay, God, you see what a catastrophe that would be in your personal life? They still don't repent. But it's not over yet. God's still giving them a chance. The first four have a function of warning of the worst things to come. Otherwise, it's kind of difficult to make sense of verse 13. Look what it says. It's if God says, if you think these things are bad, hey, wait till tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow. He's trying to get their attention. He's trying to get our attention. This is serious. You know, it's coming down. It is hard to interpret these things literally because you say, well, what, you know, that's why I say be careful because you end up with a bigger mess. It's apocalyptic. It is symbolic. Go read some apocalyptic stuff and you'll see, you know, that's what it is. That's how it's done. You try to press these things and you're going to be a neurotic. Why? It won't make any sense. It's not that it's not important. Oh, yes, it is important. It is symbolic language of judgment that is terrifying. You know, when you think about this, you say, God, man, this scares us, but we're going to trust you, but we're going to try to think through it. It's horrendous language referring to bad things. Yes, it is. The blood and the hail and the fire and all these things. Joel talked about it some, right? It is actually picked up by Peter on the day of Pentecost, the very same thing that happened when Jesus died on the cross. How that happened, we don't know exactly. We don't know exactly how these things are going to come down, but it's not going to be pretty. You know, compared to what's coming, we're living in the best days of our life right now. you understand what I said? I said compared to what's coming, not compared to good days past, but compared to some of these things that will come down in the future, our day right now looks pretty good, as bad as it is. Many say these four judgments are among the hardest in the book of Revelation to try to come to terms with. I agree with that. Yeah. It's taking place in the reality to which these things point. So just at the time where you're a half an hour reprieve, oh, man, we got a break, and then we go. Here we go. Worse than it was before. God reminds us, hey, I'm in charge of this thing. You're not. The preacher's not. The government's not. Nobody else is. where the focus of the first four seal woes is primarily on the trials which test the faith of God's people. That's what they did. They were persecuted. They were martyrs. These things were happening to them. Yes. The focus of the trumpet's woes is primarily trials upon punishing the unbelieving persecutors of God's people. That's exactly what's unfolding. When the faith of believers is tested, it's suggested by the Exodus plague. Go back and read the plagues in Exodus and see how these things are unfolding in Revelation. It's almost like a copy. You got fire, and you got this, and you got this, and you got this, and you got this. And some of these things were actually taking place in Exodus that protected the Israelites. You know, that's exactly what he's doing. He's getting them out of there. When the series of these seven trumpets, their first form a subordinate literary unit as the last three, when you're trying to put these things together. The first set of judgments act affecting the sources of human life. That's what we saw. And the final three directly strike humans themselves. While the trumpet plagues bring warning and many cause repentance in some, as indicated by the limitation of judgment. He limited it, and he will limit it. It implies that God is restraining his wrath. I'm just trying to get your attention where you'll repent before it's too late. I don't know what you need to repent of. All of us have something. Their primary purpose is the judgment of unbelievers. It's coming. You need to be ready. That's the main thing. And if you've got a loved one that doesn't know Jesus, you try to, in the nicest way, help them see, hey, this thing's coming down one day. And if we live long enough on this earth, it's not going to be pretty when it comes down. All right? But he's doing it to remind us to do something while you have a chance. Don't put it off. Because you don't know when it's going to come. You don't know when it's going to come apart, right? We don't. But thank the Lord, God's in control. Ain't that right? You ought to wake up in the morning and say, God, I thank you that I can trust you to take care of me regardless of where I am. When all this comes apart, I know you're going to take care of me. Whether I die as a martyr or I go to heaven without being killed, I thank you that you're in control. And because of that, I'm going to examine how I'm living my life. Because that's the main thing. God's concerned with how we live our lives. In relation to this, it should motivate us to say, hey, this is important. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can trust you. This is scary. It bothers us to some degree to even talk about it. But Father, we know you're in control. And you've given us this revelation to help us try to be ready and maybe try to help others be ready. We thank you that you will see it through to the end, that you'll do justice, you'll bring glory to yourself, and that you'll take care of us as well. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.